Hi, and welcome to It's a Book Thing. I'm your host, Michaela, and I have some interesting news for you guys today. It's been a while since I talked to you guys. I think maybe a couple weeks have passed. But that's because I was on vacation. Right now it's my winter break for college. So I was on vacation to, you know, I went to Washington for Christmas to go see my friend. So that was really fun. And, you know, then I was just doing a bunch of Christmas stuff, Christmas shopping and whatnot, hanging out with family that came into town. And so I was just, you know, hanging out with family. And so that was really fun. But, I mean, interesting enough, this podcast is now on Spotify and Apple Podcast and TuneIn and iHeartRadio. I mean, yeah, that's just kind of crazy because whenever I started this off, it was just going to be like a little aside thing, you know, something that I started off in college because I was bored and I wanted to talk to people about books and no one around me read books like I do. And so it was just going to start off as this little like passion project thing. And I mean, look at it grow. It's now on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and a lot of other places too. So that's just, I don't know. That's kind of crazy. And it's insane to me that that's happened. I don't know the logistics of it. So if you're listening to this podcast and you want to know the logistics, I don't know. I just use this website and I pay them every month and then they help me get on these websites. Please don't come after me if your favorite podcasters who have had like thousands of people listening to their podcast aren't on Spotify or iTunes or whatever, because I don't know how that works. I don't know the business side of the podcast. I don't know how you get on Spotify. I'm not necessarily sure how it all worked. I just kind of pressed a button and they were like, okay, we're going to go do that for you. And I was like, cool, great, thanks. I mean, that's all I can say about that. Also, if y'all hear anything in the background, it's this bunny rustling. Because right now I'm filming this in my younger sister's bedroom and she has a rabbit and that rabbit's really loud and it's also creeping me out because it keeps staring at me. So there's that. That's all that I think I want to say. I mean, Christmas is great. If you celebrate Hanukkah, happy Hanukkah. Celebrate Christmas, Merry Christmas late. If you celebrate any other wintry things, just happy holidays. I don't know. So I think that's all I want to talk about, and so now I'm going to get straight into the actual book talk, and today we are talking about the last book in Allie Carter's Embassy Row series, Take the Key and Lock Her Up. I'll be honest, overall, this was not my favorite. This was not my favorite out of all the books. I thought, you know, well, truthfully, I thought the first one was the best one. I mean, it started off so strong, and I was like really pumped for it. And so I don't necessarily know how to say it, but it just, this whole series, I mean, the ending of the series kind of fell short for me. So if I was going to rate it, I'd probably give it a 3.5 out of 5 stars. I mean, because it's not like I didn't like the book like at all. There were parts about this book that I loved. I thought it fell a little short. And, you know, there's a lot of things, there's more things that I loved than I didn't like, but the things that I didn't like were kind of big things. So truthfully, overall, this felt like it was supposed to be in the middle of a series. Like, it feels like there should be like another book coming out. It feels like there should have been like another book. Like, this was just like, the conflict was so huge, you know, at the beginning. And I just feel like there were some things we didn't really get to like tie up nicely. And it just felt really rushed. So I feel like, I mean, I don't know that much about Allie Carter, like all of her books that she's ever written. Cause I haven't read every single book that Allie Carter's ever written in her entire life. But from what I see with her Gala Girl series, this kind of felt like it could have been done just like the Gala Girl series. And if you haven't read that book series, sorry about it. It's a 6-book series that Allie Carter writes. Right, that she wrote. It's a 6-book series that Allie Carter wrote. And basically, you know, it kind of had the same idea. It started off with like an initial conflict, but then that conflict grew into something bigger. And then they took like 4 books to kind of wrap that up nicely. It almost felt like Allie Carter didn't know how to write this trilogy as a trilogy, if that makes sense. Don't get me wrong, I still loved the book, but I just feel like she wrote it almost like there were going to be more books. But then she was like, oh, I just want it to be a trilogy. So then she like kind of tried to wrap up loose ends, and that's why it kind of felt not as satisfying. But that's all I have to say about that. So let's get into the actual talk, into the plot. One thing that I was super shocked about is Princess Anne being the villain. I really and truthfully thought that it was going to be like Princess Anne has more of a connection to Grace than people realize. I mean, I guess I was kind of right about that, but I wasn't expecting her to be the villain that was trying to kill her. So whenever they started it off, and Grace, you know, gets kidnapped, and then she's in Paris, and then she gets out of Paris, and she's like steals a phone, and now she has to call someone. She called Anne, and I was like, that's so weird that she called Anne. What? I was like, they didn't have that much of a connection. I was like, this is so bizarre. What is going on? I was like, I figured she would have called like Alexei or one of her friends or something like that, her brother, which, I mean, turns out she did, but whenever I found out that she called Anne, you know, like before, you know, you find out that she actually called her friends, you just see Anne come up and it's like, oh, I'm so glad you called. And I'm like, that's so weird. And then, you know, then Anne shows up and she's like, so unnecessarily aggressive. I was like, what the heck is going on? Like, literally, what the hell is going on? What is happening here? I don't, like, leading up to this, all you've been is nice. So, like, I don't understand, like, where all this, like, animosity is coming from. And then we figure out that, like, Anne is the one that's been trying to kill her all along. And I was like, oh, shit. That's what's happening here. You want her dead. That's why there's all this aggression. That's why you keep asking about Jamie. Ugh, my God. Seriously, it was just, I was so taken back by it. And then I was so taken back by, like, how fake she was in the first two books. And then to, like, come into this next book and be, like, totally chill. And I was like, what is happening here? So I don't know. That was just really, truthfully, one of those, like, oh, shit moments when you're like, oh, my God, everything's falling into place. I understand now. Duh. So that was really weird. But, like, one thing I don't understand about, you know, Princess Anne being, like, the actual villain is, like, I can't 100% tell if it was Princess Anne the whole time or if it was also the Secret Society or if the Secret Society was just, like, saying, you know what, we're just not going to touch that. Princess Anne, you want to kill them? You go for it. We're not going to stop you. We're also not going to help Grace or anyone, so, like, go do your thing. So, like, if that was the whole case and it was Princess Anne the whole time, how does the Russian fit into everything then? Like, the Russian Prime Minister, who was, like, trying to shoot Grace. Does he just have an issue with Americans? Or did he also know that Grace was the long-lost princess? I really wish it would have, like, I really wish we could have figured out how everything went into play. Like, there are some things that they don't show in books just because they're not that interesting. I get it. I understand that. And I realize that sometimes I like things that aren't necessarily interesting. This is just one of those things that, you know, it's not necessarily interesting and it's, you know, not that relevant to the plot. And, you know, like, we kind of figure out, you know, Princess Anne was trying to kill her anyway, so it, like, doesn't really completely matter. But it's like, I kind of want to know how the Russian Prime Minister fit into everything. Because, I mean, he did try to have Grace's mom killed. So did he just know that Grace's mom was, like, a descendant of this, what is, I think the princess name is what, Amelia? I'm pretty sure it's Amelia. I don't know. I would have loved to see how that whole thing played into all that stuff, but we didn't. So what do I want to talk about next? I want to talk about Grace and Anne's whole relationship with each other. There was a power struggle between them, which was just the fighting for, like, one to win, and Grace constantly losing that fight after she's kind of been let off the hook a lot in her life. And, you know, she's been able to get away with a lot of stuff. And the fact that Princess Anne is, like, obviously Princess Anne's trying to kill her, so she's not going to let Grace get away with shit. But, like, the fact that we finally got to see Grace sort of struggle with, like, fighting for dominance over something like that. I don't want to say finally, because I feel like she kind of had something like that with the Chancellor, the first book, you know, fighting for control and stuff. But, like, this book, we really saw just Grace, like, completely become helpless. She's like, I give up. I finally give up. This is me finally giving up. And that was so interesting to see. And I found it so refreshing that we didn't just constantly get Grace being like, oh no, like, feel like, you know, in some of the books, like the first book, we still saw that whole, like, Grace is giving up part. But this book, it just felt more, like, definitive. And I don't know if it's because this was, like, the last book in the series. And I was like, dude, is she really going to give up? Like, finally, in this last book, is that how this whole book series is going to end? And so, like, just to see Grace give up and, like, see Anne kind of win over Grace, it was, like, insane. I loved that whole, the power struggle kind of forced Grace to think about things differently. You know, take a step back and be like, how I'm going about doing things is not working. I love that. I just thought it was amazing. So yeah, that's how I feel about that whole situation. Okay, let's talk about when Grace finds her mom's stuff and the box. So I kind of, whenever they got to this town and Grace was so like sketched out about it and was like, this has got to be a town that has immense importance to her, right? And then I was like, oh my God, dude, this is definitely the town. This is definitely the town where her mom died. It has to be. It has to be. And then it was, and I was like, oh, they're gonna go to the antique shop. I just know it. And then they went to the antique shop, and I was like, I wonder if they're gonna find something. And then they found something, and I was like, dude, I'm like on a roll with this stuff. And then, they found the box, and it was so weird to me when they found the box and Grace has like the memory of like her mom saying like, oh, when you need to know how to open the box, you'll figure out. And I was like, Grace never figured out how to open the box herself. She never figured out how to do that. So that whole like flashback thing where it's like, you'll figure out how to do it soon enough. She went up to like the grandfather, the king guy, and then the king opened it for her. And I was like, so no, Grace never figured out how to do it. And Grace wasn't gonna figure out how to do it. Grace had to find someone else to figure out how to do it. And then I was like, ooh, what's in the box? What's in the box? And then it's a key. And I'm like, oh, well, dang, that's kind of anticlimactic. And then it was like, oh, but the key opens the gates of the city. And then we found out that like the king's brother had his entire brother's family like executed just so that he can get power. And I'm like, it caused me to stop and think about like actual logistics in history. Like as to if people actually like allow this shit to happen. And I mean, I get that they didn't like allow anything to happen and that the royal family was like, they had to be kind of effed up because a bunch of people went in and like massacred them. But I was like, I mean, it kind of like makes me think of like the Romanov family. Like, the Romanov family wasn't necessarily good, but like that was a lot of people that you murdered. Thinking about that logistically, about the amount of people that you are murdering for a cause, it just, I don't like it. And then I guess with that whole, like, with that point, I don't get the secret society then. Like, so the secret society wants, like, I guess Amelia's descendants on the throne. So they're actually, no, they do, but they also don't. They want Amelia's descendant to go on the throne, but they don't want things to get out of place, if that makes sense. So that's why they have like Grace try to like mosey up to Thomas or whatever, and like it just creeps me out that the society was so willing to like have everyone. They were totally chill with all of Amelia's descendants dying, except for one person, so that they could continue the line, the lineage of Amelia. Like, so they want Amelia on the throne, but they really don't want Amelia's, well, descendants on the throne, if that makes sense. Which it doesn't. It makes no sense to me either. So if this isn't making sense to you, good, it's not making sense to me either. I don't like it. Really and truthfully, I think that if someone was trying to massacre like the entire Amelia descendants line, the secret society would have just let it happen. And so that whole concept of like almost like, murder. Yeah, guys, turns out I don't like murder. Me talking for like 3 minutes about the fact that murder is wrong and that I don't understand the logistics of it. Wow, okay. I'm so glad that we took that break to just talk about how I don't like murder. That's fascinating. Go me. I don't know. So I just, oh my gosh, I don't like secret societies and I don't like murder. I don't like either. I don't like the whole people have to die for the greater good. It ain't my cup of tea, Joe. Yeah, I don't like it. There's so much about this book that just bothered me. Like, the whole conflict in this book was that you're Amelia's descendants, but you can't abdicate the throne because we want an Amelia descendants on the throne. But then at the end of the book, what happens? They just abdicate the throne. So it's like, oh, so it turns out that we could just abdicate the throne. Y'all just didn't want that to happen, but now we're abdicating the throne anyway. So this entire book, the entire conflict of the book, makes no sense. She abdicated the throne anyways. They all abdicated the throne anyways. So the conflict does not make sense at all. At all. It doesn't. I can't, oh my gosh. Okay. I don't, cool. And then, so you can't abdicate the throne. You have to marry Thomas. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice, how annoyed I was the entire time reading this book. Like I was like, oh yeah, like this book is so like the first two books, I was like, oh my God, the plot is so interesting. Everything's so fascinating. And then the third book came and I was like, what is happening? Why are the conflicts even necessary in this book? And newsflash, they aren't. So That's all I have to say about that. I'm gonna stop talking about the whole abdicating the throne thing because it's just gonna annoy me, and I can't keep talking about it because it's just bothering me. There were so many things that I did not like about it, and I can't. There wasn't a lot of things I didn't like about it. I just didn't like how the whole conflict was basically unnecessary at the end. And they were like, oh yeah, you know, this whole conflict that we had, like the entire book long, about how you can't abdicate the throne. We literally kidnapped Grace and we're like, you can't abdicate the throne. Sorry about it, sis. You have to marry Thomas. Sorry, that's just how it's going to be. And then in the end, she's like, yeah, I'm not going to marry Thomas. I'm going to go date Alexei and I'm going to abdicate the throne with my 60 or so relatives. Hope that's okay with you. Hope the secret society doesn't kill me off. I was like, okay, great, cool, yay. Speaking of Thomas, because I've talked so much about Thomas, I'm just gonna talk about Thomas now, because honestly, I just love Thomas. He's so young and naive, and he's just a little boy child, and I just loved him. I loved him so, he warmed my heart so much. And I was like, oh, I want nothing bad to happen to you. And as soon as I thought that, I was like, this is totally the innocent child that's gonna get screwed over. It's totally gonna happen. He's totally gonna get screwed over. It wasn't Rosie. It was Thomas. Who knew? Not me. Definitely not me. And I just hated it. Like, as soon as it happened, as soon as he pulled the gun out, he just shot his mom. And I was like, dude, we're going to get another Grace in this world. There's going to be another person just like Grace. Fantastic. I love that. That's sarcasm. I'm going to say it's sarcasm just so that you know it's sarcasm. Also, Thomas shot his own mother for a girl that he had known, like, kind of for less than a week. He was like, you know what? She's trying to kill this girl. I've known this girl less than a week. I've known my mother my whole life. But hey, mom, you're dead. Not actually dead, but you're dead enough. You're dead inside. And honestly, that's how they break you. So that was also really weird that they put her in a mental hospital. The whole concept of mental hospitals and mental health in this book series hit a wrong nerve for me. Like, they put Anne in a mental hospital like it's a prison. And let me just tell you, mental hospitals in medias and books and TV shows and like everything need to stop being portrayed as like these torture chambers and like prisons. Because, I mean, yeah, they have that kind of aspect where, like, you know, sometimes people are forcibly admitted and they don't want to be there. And so that's kind of like prison-like. But overall, like, most mental hospitals are supposed to help you get better. The ones that you see in TV shows and movies and books are like literally 0.0001 of mental hospitals. I'm not saying this from personal experience. I'm saying this from, well, it's kind of personal. It's not my own personal experience, but it's my friends who have gone. I have some friends who have gone to mental hospitals and have told me, like, it's not as bad as everyone makes it out to seem. It's not, like, crazy and, like, torturous and stuff. Like, they're just trying to help you. They're just trying to help people. And so I don't know. It just felt so sketched that the entire book series in the end, like, the entire series just felt so, I don't even know how to necessarily verbalize it. Like, it just felt so off in the aspect of, like, portraying, like, getting help with mental illness and stuff like that. Because me, personally, I take anxiety medicine, which I think I've mentioned before. And, I mean, dude, without that, I would constantly think that my family was gonna die and stuff like that. So, I mean, not all medicine makes you, like, this drugged, loopy, like, totally out of it person. It's just having a discussion with your doctors and, you know, figuring out what works for you and figuring out what will help you. And so I don't know. I just really wish that there was a lot that they could have done in this book to be like, you know, like, mental health, it's an epidemic and, you know, we're working with it, and show, like, Grace actually, like, getting help that she needs with her mental health and not portraying mental hospitals as prisons. It just felt so weird. I didn't like it. I mean, speaking of, like, the prison that is a mental hospital in this book series, let's go to the literal prison that Karina was in. I loved introducing Karina into the story. Let me just first start off with that. How they figured out that Karina was even, like, a part of this whole thing was fantastic. I loved that it kind of blindsided Alexei. He was like, oh, wow, I thought my mom had abandoned me. But actually, no, she's just in a mental hospital that she didn't need to be in and that someone forced her to be in. And wow, this is kind of crazy. And then we got to go break her out. And I just love that her and Grace's like personal situations were kind of, it almost felt like they were two sides of the same coin. So like Grace, you know, Grace still had hope. That's the biggest point. Grace still had hope and Karina didn't. Karina did not have hope. And I think that really showed, you know, like, you know, I like to think that Karina started off strong. Karina started thinking about like her family, like what she had to lose and whatnot. I like to believe that she started off like that. But then the more she stayed in this place, she just kind of deteriorated and started to lose hope. And then eventually all of her hope was gone. And I like how that kind of juxtaposed with Grace. Like Grace still had connections. Grace still had her friends and stuff like that. Grace still had people in her life. And I think you could kind of see the parallels more whenever Grace totally cut herself off from all her friends. And then you're like, oh, wow, she's like, they're really like just so similar, her and Karina. So I don't know. I loved them. I love that Karina was a part of this story. I just thought it was amazing. I thought it was fantastic that we found out that Alexei actually had a parent that cared about him, that wanted to be with him, because I don't think the Prime Minister is all that nice of a father. I don't think he's that good of a guy. Yeah. Alexei and his mom, their relationship, though, I felt bad that we really did get to see it, like, develop all that much. I mean, we found out that they, you know, after they escaped, you know, Alexei takes his mom to, like, Iran, and they're chilling out, and, you know, he's getting to see his mom and stuff. And then whenever Grace is, like, pushing her, like, you can tell that he cares about her, because he's like, Grace, knock it off, like, stop. So I like that he actually had a relationship with her. And this is where this book being a trilogy just makes the story fall so flat, because I feel like if this book was longer, we'd get more relationships developed nicely and not as fast as it feels in these three books. I feel like we could have gotten to see Alexei and his mom, like, develop that relationship. You know, I feel like we could have gotten to see, you know, the de-evolution of Princess Anne stronger. I feel like there's a lot of things that we could have had. We could have had more Jamie, which, let me point out, the lack of Jamie in this book. Last book talk, I said, oh, wow, it would really be nice to see more Jamie and Grace moments. We got one Jamie and Grace moment, and that was when they went back to the antique shop, and then Grace left. So, I'm so mad about that. If the book series had been longer, I think my whole issue with this was that everything in this last book felt so abrupt. It felt so almost cheesy. It just felt so not complete, if that makes sense. I didn't like it. I didn't like how it just fell short for me. I didn't like that. And with that said, I mean, like, the lack of friends, like, the lack of her friends being involved in the plots, like, in general, like, it just felt like it was all Grace all the time. And I was like, I just want to see her friends. I want to see Noah and Megan. That's another thing that we could have divulged into more if this had been a longer series. I just wished it would have been longer. I feel like this would have been an amazing book series, like an amazing like 6-book or 5-book book series with long. And then we got to divulge into the secret society and we get to see how the secret society actually works. And we get to see all the little things that I felt like needed to be expanded on. Like the fact that the friends in this book are only there to serve Grace. Like, when we see the friends in the book themselves, we only see them as to how they relate to Grace. We only see them, like, helping Grace and, you know, figuring out how to help Grace and figuring out how to get things better for Grace. And I just felt like they had, like, no other life when they're not related to Grace, which is kind of crazy because they've only known Grace for like literally kind of less than 3 months. But then like in the second book, we kind of got to see that like some of them do have a life outside of Grace. And I wish that if this book Oh my gosh, I'm going to say there's so much in this book talk, but if this book series could have been longer, we got to see people outside of Grace. I mean, heck, dude, Rosie and Thomas were friends? Are you kidding me right now? Rosie and Thomas are friends. Are we for real right now? That's something that we definitely could have touched on if this book could have been longer. Definitely could have touched on. We could have just had more Rosie. If I'm being honest, we could have had a lot more Rosie if this book had been longer. But it wasn't. And so I didn't like how some of the characters in this book just felt like backup dancers. They felt like they had no personality unless it was connected to Grace. It felt like so. I just didn't like it. I thought it was awful. I didn't like it at all. So I just really wish that we could have, I wished that we could have just been able to expand on relationships and expand on concepts in this book that I just feel like as a trilogy, we didn't get to expand on. This whole book just fell short. And I know I said that at the beginning, but it just, overall, it just felt so rushed. Okay. What else do I want to talk about? Oh, you know what I will talk about? I'll talk about the Chancellor. I love the Chancellor so much. I loved her so much. She is such a beautiful woman. I love her so much. There's nothing that this Chancellor can do wrong, in my opinion. I love her. Which is kind of really funny, because in the last couple books, I feel like I didn't like her that much. But, oh, that whole changed. That whole thing changed in this book. The Chancellor just ended up being like Grace's mom. Like, she turned into this loving, caring figure for Grace. And I, oh my gosh, I'm tearing up now. I am tearing up. It's so sweet. And then, oh my gosh, I feel like we got some of that in the first book, you know, with her like shooting. We saw her shoot the Russian Prime Minister. So we got to see that. And then the second book, it seemed like they were so distant. It seemed like there was a divide between them. And I think that's just because the Chancellor wouldn't admit to actually shooting the freaking Russian Prime Minister. And then this book, Grace is like, she's so tired of running. And she's so tired of having to fight and having to do all the things that kids shouldn't have to do. And then finally, like, Megan calls her mom and they're like, we think that we need help. And then the Chancellor comes by and she's like, I was so worried when you left in Paris. And then Grace is crying and then she hugs the Chancellor and we get to see that like embrace and that mother-daughter bond. I mean, granted, like, I know that the Chancellor isn't her mom, obviously, but we get that mother-daughter bond that we got that motherly bond that I love that so much. Oh my gosh, why am I actually tearing up? I just loved that so much. And now I want to go into my theories segment where I like talk about my theories and stuff, but really, since, you know, this is the last book and there's no like after this book, it's not like me making new theories, it's me contemplating on theories that I already had. So obviously I was wrong about Princess Anne being Grace's mom, because she totally wasn't, and I hated her. So yeah, there's that. What I was right about is the stupid freaking Prime Minister being evil. The Prime Minister of Adria being freaking evil. She was, like, I guess she wasn't totally evil, but, like, she was totally okay with Grace's brother being assassinated. She was totally chill with Grace being assassinated. If it kept Adria going strong, it was totally cool. Y'all can die. No big deal. So, you know, she wasn't evil. She was just a bad person. There we go. I didn't like her, and I was right about that. That was a theory I was right about. I was wrong about Rosie being the innocent one that was destroyed, but I was right about an innocent person getting effed over. So that's all I have to say about that. Still sad I didn't get to see a lot of Rosie, but it's okay. I'm living with it. And then the one theory that I had going strong since the very get-go was that I thought Dominic was going to die. I totally thought he was going to die. Whenever he got shot, I was like, dude, I was right. Dude, he totally did die. And then they were like, oh yeah, no, he's good. He's like getting out of like surgery or whatever. Like, it wasn't that bad. And I was like, oh, okay. so he didn't die. What? That's crazy. I totally was expecting him to die, but he didn't. So, there's that. So, I mean, overall, if I had to rate this series, the Embassy Row series, as a whole, I would give the Embassy Row series a 4. I'll give it a 4 out of 5. I liked it. It was, the plot was amazing. The plot was so interesting and it kept me on my toes the entire time. But it just fell short at the end. On this book as a whole, I thought the idea was excellent. And as I've said before, I just feel like we could have expanded more if this had been a longer series. That's not saying that Ali Carter can't write an amazing trilogy. I'm 95% sure she can. But I just feel like this particular trilogy felt a little short and felt a little anticlimactic. But yeah, that's all I have to say about Take the Key and Lock Her Up. Thank you guys for listening so much. If y'all want to follow me on my Instagram, I just changed it. I now have an Instagram solely for this podcast. Instagram account for my podcast is ITS period a book thing. All lowercase, no capitalization. And then my Twitter is still the same. It's still going to be my Twitter. So it's Mikayla_101. So yeah. And that's MKAYLA_101. So yeah, that is all for this book talk. And thank you so much for listening. Bye.